this is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 13 in a series of 260, marking the 50th anniversary of radio station WHKP. And we're calling the series with the blessings of the Fitzsimmons family, Where Fitz Left Off, because Mr. Fitz and his 25 years behind these microphones covered the early history of the county and those who settled here. We're simply taking up where Fitz left off. As the wide superhighways came to America, and even as most of the primary roads are now being four-laned, there has been an impact on short-haul airline business. And the superhighways and the airlines virtually has wiped out a railroad passenger business in Hendersonville that at its peak saw 30 trains a day coming through this town. On February 8, 1941, the last run was made on the Toxaway line, the passenger train that left for Brevard and Lake Toxaway every morning at 11:45 and returned, arriving here at 4:30 in the afternoon. In announcing the discontinuance of this train, Southern agent J.W. Bailey said, "The demand for this service has declined to the point where it is unprofitable." He said the advent of the automobile and the construction of improved highways gradually removed passengers from the railway coaches. Those were Agent Bailey's exact words. America's penchants for mobility, aided with unlimited lobbying funds from the cement, the automobile, and rubber industries, has caused Americans to assume, "I'll build a house wherever I want to, and it's up to the government to build a road to it." This is the only country in the world that I know of that follows this precedent. It has encouraged everybody in the family to have their own car. When the child bride and I were first married, we were responsible for only one vehicle. And I counted up the other day, we, our children, and our grandchildren are now glutting the highways and filling parking lots with 10 cars, where there was one. While it's a marvelous convenience, this individual mobility, it took away the heart of short-haul railway and intercity bus business, and the airlines then serve the death knell to the long-haul field, except for those who fear flying and those who simply love trains. I happen to fall in the latter category. And going back to my very first ride on a train from Hendersonville to Biltmore and back, I calculate that I have logged 33,310 miles on trains during and since the war, just in this country. Not included are several thousand miles on trains in England and Europe. Throughout the 40s and the 50s, there were 4 trains daily through Hendersonville, trains number 27 and 28, the Carolina Special, and trains number 9 and 10, the Skyland Special. The Carolina Special ran between Chicago and Cincinnati, and either Charleston or Jacksonville, depending on whether you change trains in Columbia. The Skyland Special originated in Asheville and provided direct service to Jacksonville and St. Petersburg. And in addition, there were the special excursion trains in the summer, which brought campers from the lowlands to the myriad of camps in the Hendersonville area. During World War II, railroads provided the salvation to the country in transporting not only freight and war material, but also the 15 million servicemen and their families all around the nation. As newer, faster cars were built to travel new and faster roads, demand began dropping on all passenger trains. After Southern dropped their Toxaway line, they next eliminated the Skyland Special, trains 9 and 10. That left only the Carolina Special with a Hendersonville stop. The railroads were regulated by the utility commissions in each state, so the railroads would use their significant political power in one state to get the portion of a train passing through that state discontinued. The North Carolina Utilities Commission in 1941 gave approval, in spite of wide protests, for the Southern to discontinue all 14 trains west of Asheville due to a so-called soft coal shortage. After the Southern had rid itself of all passenger service in this area except the famous Carolina Special, their strategy was to get it discontinued in pieces, starting in Florida. For a while, the Special ran only to the Georgia line. Then Georgia gave in. The Special stopped at the South Carolina line. Finally, South Carolina gave their approval. And the Carolina Special then ran only from Asheville to points in nearby South Carolina, where it did its turnaround. And that same strategy had been used by the Southern to eliminate service from Cincinnati south. The final life of the Carolina Special really went from nowhere to nowhere. And with proper bookkeeping manipulation of depreciation, share of overhead expense, and what have you, the Southern was able to prove that each trip cost them $444 and revenue amounted to $32.19. The North Carolina Utilities Commission finally capitulated, and the Carolina Special ran for the last time December 5th, 1968. While Amtrak still has problems, and there are some politicians who would do away with all passenger service in this country, one wonders what would happen in another national emergency or in a situation where trains don't fly and cars can't move on highways. Amtrak still does provide excellent service to Washington, D.C., New York, and Boston, and likewise south to Atlanta, Birmingham, and New Orleans, and you can go from Greenville nonstop to Los Angeles. Catch the Crescent in Greenville, South Carolina at 10:55. You'll find your bed made in your own private bedroom. The following morning, you'll have breakfast as you pass through Charlottesville, Virginia at 6:48. You'll arrive rested and refreshed in the awesome Union Station in Washington at 9:28, with connections on the Metro to any place in the D.C. area. And traveling first class, your meals are free, your car's been left in a protected storage area in Greenville waiting for your return. That's one of the great treats left for this old seventh child of a seventh child who was born here, had the good sense never to leave, and worked at a job I've loved all my life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.